I'm Dwight Bingham. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show, where we discuss all things social and criminal justice related, from the front end to the back end, and everything in between. You have a right to remain silent, because anything you say can and will be held against you. You have a right to an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed for you. You're in the self-incrimination protection zone, where there is no cruel and unusual punishment, no illegal search and seizure. The exclusionary rule has you covered. So sit back, relax, and become sold on this week's episode.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Justice for All podcast show. I'm DeWitt Bingham, your host. Thank you for tuning in to the show that discusses all things social justice and criminal justice, where the goals are to inform you, the American citizen, of your constitutional rights, to provide education on occupational guidance to high school and college students, and to be a voice for change. I'm excited about today's show because we got two Harpers in the house. I'm really excited. Mr. Bingham actually thought that they were twins. Anyhow, we are in the 12th week of the 2023 fall semester at Heartland Community College, and we are studying probation and parole. And they are going to enlighten us on the differences between the two. So without any further ado, I introduce to some and present to others, Ms. Emma Harper and Ms. Hannah Harper. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
All right. Very good. The title of today's show is Probation and Parole Differences. Let's get right into it. Segment one, Hannah and Emma, is for the educational and occupational guidance of high school and college students. We accomplished this by having our guests introduce themselves. So if you would, tell us where you were born and raised, what high school you attended, your major or planned major, why you enrolled in the class, and give us one career goal. Starting with you, Emma.
So I am Emma. I was born an hour and a half north-ish from here in Joliet, Illinois. And then I was raised a few towns over in Chanahan, Illinois, where I have lived my whole life. I attended Minooka Community High School, which is also another town over. My town's a bit small to have a high school. And I'm majoring in elementary education. I enrolled in this class because I grew up watching Law & Order SVU with my dad. And so I really liked it. So I was looking into this class and I've just heard a lot of good things about the class and about you as a professor. So I decided to choose this. And then I hope one day to be teaching a bunch of little kids in my own classroom that I decorate myself.
How wonderful, Emma. You just made me think about my second grade teacher that's in my third book that I published, The Douglas Connection. This Miss Pope, that woman was fabulous. And I got a chance to talk to her maybe about a month or two ago, but I have so many good memories from second grade. And in this day and time, you never know how much criminal justice is going to help you, especially with all the things that are taking place in the school setting. All right. Very good. All right, Hannah.
Hi, I'm Hannah. I was born in Bloomington, Illinois, and I'm actually living right now in Arrowsmith. It's about 25 minutes outside of town. I went to Ridgeview all the way through, like, past my freshman year of high school. And then I actually decided to homeschool for my sophomore through senior year. I'm actually an art major, but I hope to go more into, like, a creative writing field after I'm done at Heartland. Like Emma, I joined this class because my mom and I, we love watching Life PD Fridays and Saturday nights. We were both super excited when I figured out the class I wanted to take. And probably one career goal I have is probably just to find a job that I love doing. I'm at, like, that awkward stage in my life where I know what I don't want to do, but I also don't know what I want to do. So I want to write my own novel and publish it. So we'll see how that works out.
Wonderful. You were, as a freshman, a Mustang, right?
Yep.
Ridgeview. Oh, I know Ridgeview Mustangs now. I love Colfax now. Come on. One of my favorite places to referee. So I got someone that is majoring in art and someone is majoring in education. That's wonderful. Because most of the time, I'm actually talking with criminal justice majors. And so it does my heart good to have someone else from a different discipline. All right. Very good. And I love the fact that you guys have other disciplines, but you are interested in criminal justice. That makes me feel good that you guys actually desire to take my course. So I really appreciate that. Yeah. All right. All right. Moving on. Segment two. Constitutional rights. Segment two is to inform the American public of their constitutional rights. But before we asked you to tell us what your favorite constitutional right is and why, let's remind the audience that today's episode is entitled Probation and Parole Differences. For the audience's understanding, I actually have given my students a script, and they are to research the things that I give them, and they come on the show, and depending on what chapter we are in, they are tasked with coming on the show and discussing them, and they are graded for that. So today's show is probation and parole. Define probation for me, Hannah.
It is the conditional release of a convicted offender prior to his or her serving any prison time.
Emma, define parole for me.
The parole is when you get let out of prison before your sentence is up and you get put on supervision. You get released and you get put on supervision after that.
Okay, wonderful. And so, Hannah, you were saying that probation is someone who has been convicted. Is that what you said? That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because an individual that is placed on probation is found guilty or convicted or pleads guilty to a particular criminal offense, and then they are placed on a term of probation. An individual who actually is on parole, like Emma said, is an individual who has served some time behind prison bars, have served a portion of their time in prison, and is being released from custody after serving. All right. Very good, ladies. Who places the offender on probation? Emma?
I said that probation is typically ordered by or supervised by the court. I said specifically the judge.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You did your homework. Awesome. Yes. And so when an individual walks into the courtroom, the judge has many options. Probation, many times, is one of those options. Of course, probation isn't always an option. It just depends on the severity of the offense. If somebody murders somebody, we're not going to place you on probation now. Okay. You're going to go do some time behind bars in a prison facility. Hannah, you know what's coming next then. Who is responsible for placing the parolee on parole?
A parole board actually places the offender on parole.
All right. Very good. Yes. And so when the individual is sent to prison by the judge, depending on what state you in, there's what is called the determinate sentencing and indeterminate sentencing. And determinate sentencing is what we call a fixed term, where a person will get like a flat sum of 5 years or 10 years or 15 years, 20 years. But in some states, you have indeterminate sentencing where there's a range. In other words, an individual might get 5 to 10 years or 2 to 5 years or 10 to 15 years, etc. But once they actually serve a portion of that time behind bars in prison, then they can actually go before the parole board and present themselves in a way that the parole board will want to parole them. Certainly, there are certain things that they have to do while they are behind bars to rehabilitate themselves. But that opportunity comes. And not all states have parole board, right? So just let our audience know. I believe the state of Maine is one of those states that does not have. All right. Where is the probationer supervised again, Hannah?
They're supervised by like a probation officer. Who like oversees their offender's lifestyle, and they enforce compliance with the terms of release.
Wonderful. And that is in the community, right?
Yeah.
And Emma, where is the parolee supervised?
I also said that they are typically supervised in their community by parole officers.
Okay, wonderful. So the reason I asked that question is because I want the audience to realize that Probationers and parolees both are supervised in the community. They have different terms and conditions that they must abide by. And the number one term and condition that they must abide by is they must not violate any state, local, or federal law. Give me one term or condition that a probationer may have to follow, Emma.
I said the home visits, just to make sure like they're taken care of, like they have where they're living, they have no weapons, no drugs, anything like that, just to make sure they're staying clean.
Wonderful. Yes. My first job in probation in 1987, the kids like to say, yeah, that was when Jesus was walking the earth. In 1987, as an intensive probation officer, I was knocking on doors at from 6 o'clock in the evening till 2 o'clock in the morning. And I was going to check to make sure that they were following the court's order. And that would mean that they can't get high. They can't use drugs. They had a curfew that they had to be home by a certain time, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Very good. Hannah, give me one term or condition that a parolee might have to follow.
Well, they have to be employed, stay employed, and they also have to be drug and alcohol free.
Wonderful. Very good. And if an individual happens to have a substance abuse problem, one of the things that they may be ordered by the parole board to do is to comply with treatment. All right. That said, now I want to ask you, what is your favorite constitutional right? Beginning with you, Hannah.
My favorite one would probably have to be the Eighth Amendment. And that's where excessive bail, fines, or the cruel punishment can't be inflicted on a person. It just makes sure that no one is just given excessive high fines.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. Are you familiar with the Pretrial Fairness Act that just got passed where there is no more cash bail? An individual that goes to jail now, the court has to weigh whether or not there is immediate and urgent necessity for the safety of the public or whether or not the individual is a flight risk to determine whether or not they should remain in jail. That will, I'm sure, be correlated with the Eighth Amendment because it has to do with cruel and unusual punishment. Okay, Emma, your favorite constitutional right?
I said my favorite constitutional right would probably be the first one. Just freedom of religion, speech, press, assembly, all that stuff. I just think it's a big part of, like, my dad is a teacher. So, like, he just constantly comes home and it's like telling me how no one really listens to him at work. So it's just kind of like the right that we get to, like, be able to speak our truth, I guess. And like our own opinions is just like a big thing for me, I guess.
Wonderful. Yes. I mean, without the First Amendment, where would we be, man? Speaking for myself, African-Americans were enslaved for a long time. And it is, I believe, because one of the main important amendments, the First Amendment, allowed us to actually speak out against the wrongs. And it still to this day allows anyone to speak out when they feel like they are being mistreated. All right. Wonderful. I've been asking everybody, this is the main question of the podcast for this semester. And that is anyone above the law? Beginning with you, Emma, should there be anyone above the law?
I said, no, there is no one above the law. I just say this because they do like to say that they are above a bunch of people. I mean, they're the law and they kind of run things. So
who's that?
Just like the police, like all of them and the government, just they're all just above us. And I don't know. I think it's a good thing in a way that we are being held accountable for things. But at the same time, it's just like a little bit more say in what goes on would be nice.
Absolutely. Don't talk about my government, Emma. No, I know exactly what you are saying, because as a result of a lot of the deceit, a lot of the corruption that goes on in government, almost makes people feel like they can't trust their government. Yeah, and so I feel you on that. OK, what about you, Hannah?
I also said no one is above the law. I also do think that some people have more power or influence to change the law. So
okay.
I think that also.
Okay.
It's important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you say more people have more power to change the law, it sounds like you are tapping into conflict theory. In other words, there are the haves and the have nots. And there are people who make the laws to control the less important people. Are there less important people?
Oh, no.
Okay. Very good. I'm just messing with you, Hannah. Very good. Moving on. Segment 3, being a voice for change. As an emerging adult who grew up in a predominantly white America, what say Hannah and Emma about white supremacy and Black Lives Matter? Beginning with you, Hannah.
Well, Black lives do matter. And unfortunately, there are.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Hannah. Thank you very much. I just happen to think white people are pretty cool, too.
From what I've seen in my lifetime, I do feel like the world is getting more accepting to all races, but I know there are groups of people who aren't as accepting to other races and different ethnicities. So,
okay.
Yeah.
What about white supremacy? Does that exist?
Oh, it does. Yeah, unfortunately.
Okay. All right. Very good. Emma?
Yeah, I said the same thing. I said I do think white supremacy exists. Typically coming from a very small town, that's where I feel like people tend to lean towards it. And it's like, it is a thing and it's sad, but, and that, like the Black Lives Matter stuff, like Black lives do matter. And it's the aspect of everyone does matter. But I feel like the more I see like the people who are like, I don't want to say don't agree with it, but they are usually raised more by their grandparents. I see it like in my town, there are a lot of people who live like with their grandparents and that's how they were raised. And I'm like, well, you don't have to go off of what your grandparents are teaching you. Like, that's what this whole world of change is. So it's like Black lives do matter. Everyone's life does matter. It's just the getting, I don't want to say forgetting about the past, but it's like moving on and realizing that everyone does matter in their own way.
Wonderful. This is the reason why I love learning theory, because I fervently believe that an individual can learn to be racist, but an individual can also learn to love all races. And so You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It has a lot to do with, you know, how we are raised and who's actually teaching us and what they are actually teaching us. I ask everybody that comes on the show, if you have one thing that you would like to see the Biden administration accomplish, what would that be? Beginning with you, Emma.
I said lower the gas prices to where they were.
Come on now. You preaching now. Mr. Beagle, yeah. Mr. Beagle can definitely receive some lower gas prices.
Yeah. Coming from like a college student, I already mentioned in the beginning, I'm not from here. So I do have, go home quite a bit. I came here for sports, so it was the leaving home. And so going home is a bit of a challenge, living off of no income, just my student loan. So it's just like,
oh, that's right. You play volleyball too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So just finding time to go home, but also finding the money for gas to go home is just, it's just a struggle.
I feel you on that, sister. All right, Hannah?
I actually said the exact same thing. I live like half an hour out of town. My family, we're just so used to driving everywhere. So the gas prices, it does affect us, but I think we're just so desensitized to the high prices that it's just like, oh, like, well, whatever.
Yeah. I remember you said Aerosmith, right? I remember I had to travel out there my first year of as an intensive probation officer, you know, and I actually come from two cities, Crystal City and Festus, that is only 3% African-American. So, you know, a lot of people think that I come from the city of Chicago or somewhere. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the way that I carry on. I actually clown, you know, but I come from two small towns just like y'all. And so whenever I was actually first starting as a probation officer in McLean County, you know, McLean County is predominantly white as well. And so I felt right at home. And so one good thing that I've always say about small towns is that the crime is much lower in those towns. Wonderful places to grow up. All right. Couple more questions. Should a convicted felon be allowed to be president of the United States? Beginning with you, Hannah.
I would say no.
Okay.
I think a convicted felon, I feel like they would be more, I don't know. It just is kind of like, if you've done something once, you're bound to do it again. I know people can change, but I feel like president is just a lot of responsibility for a convicted felon.
Okay. All right. Emma?
I would also say no, but for the aspect of like, I feel like if they were to become president, they would become more lenient on like if another person did what they did and then they wouldn't get like the same treatment. I just think that it would make things a lot more chaotic if they were to become more lenient on certain things.
All right. Okay, let's switch it up a little bit. Do you think that a felon should be allowed to vote? Beginning with you, Emma.
I was a bit torn with the question, but the more I think about it, I think yes. Part of me wants to say yes, just because they are a part of the world, the society. But at the same time, like, I want to say no, just because they did something wrong, like they broke rules or something that they didn't follow in the first place.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anna?
I actually said yes. I do get what Emma, you're saying about if a felon should be allowed to vote, then it's kind of like, well, their decision making before what made them a convicted felon is not what it should be. So I don't know like their vote should matter. But
OK, so you lean in more towards allowing a felon, criminal felon to vote.
Yeah.
OK. All right. And I think that's pretty much what Emma was leaning towards, too, because you want them to feel a part of society. Because of individual, I always try to make sure that my students understand that there is a thin line between being a law abider and a law breaker. But should an individual break the law, and if they do go to jail or they go to prison, they got to come out sooner or later. And you want to motivate them. You want to have something. That's why you have good time credit in prison. It's designed to motivate individuals to turn their life around and do good things. And so voting, as you guys are pretty much really saying, the reason why you would allow them to vote is because you think that it would invite them to be more part of society, which is an awesome thing. All right. I wasn't going to ask y'all this question, but I'm gonna make this my final question. And that is, marijuana is legalized in the state of Illinois. I want to know if y'all think that marijuana, I want to get you on the record. If you think that marijuana should be legalized at the federal level, beginning with you, Hannah.
Oh, no. Okay. I would say no.
Okay.
Just because I don't know. I mean, I know it's good. Like medical marijuana is good for lots of reasons. But yeah, I would say no.
Okay. All right. So we can't expect Hannah to be token anytime soon, right? Okay. Very good. Emma?
Yeah, I also said no. I'm just not a fan of it at all. And I just think like my thing is I'm not a fan of it. So I don't think it should be legalized. Yeah, that was my own really reasoning, really.
Okay.
And it smells awful.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Very good. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Probation and parole define terms and conditions that probationers and parolees might have to follow, important constitutional rights, and how to make America a better place to live. Until next time, keep living your best life. God bless and Godspeed.